Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours. Near-Death Experience Podcast, item number 369, December 14th, 2021. The NDE of Mark M.
Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. I am Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side. Today we're going to share an experience from NDERF.org by Mark. And Mark, he first starts out describing in detail some of the heart difficulties that he's having, but I'm going to pick up right where he is about to have the near-death experience, okay? But it's heart issues that have brought him to the emergency room. Mark says, "These are the events I remember when I woke up on the gurney on June 30th, 2017. The ketamine was administered at 2 a.m. I knew the time because the nurse said it out loud. I looked at the clock to verify, and she was correct. It didn't take very long before I felt pressure building in my head. The last thing I remember was the doctor saying as he was standing on my left, 'Do you feel anything yet?' As soon as he asked that, for the first time in my life, I let go. I gave up. Instantly, I was traveling at a very high rate of speed through what appeared to be a tunnel, but it wasn't a tunnel. Maybe it was more like a conduit. The walls of the tunnel conduit were against my body, but I didn't feel it. It had me in its grip, if that makes any sense. At one point in the ride, I stuck my head out of the tunnel or conduit. I saw what the movies depict in space when ships are traveling super fast. The stars and planets were whizzing by, leaving light trails behind them. What was different was the visual I saw of the texture of the outer tunnel or conduit surface. It was made out of gold flakes. I saw the tunnel conduit floating through space. This might sound odd, but the tunnel conduit had the appearance like what the outside of our large intestines look like, except with gold flakes. The following events happened within seconds of one another, or if not all at once. When the ride was over, the tunnel conduit placed me very gently on a path that led somewhere. I couldn't see where it was leading to because of the dark figures in front of me. They stood in a single file line and nobody was saying anything. I could only see the backs of their heads. It was like they were shadows of other humans. Immediately, I felt an overwhelming presence all around me. This presence, or should I say, his presence, was so powerful, evil could never dwell or even tempt the people of this place. I felt very safe from evil or any harm, but I felt intimidated by this incredible power all around me. It was definitely his world, and I wasn't going to do or think anything he did not want me to do or think. He is definitely in charge. The air around me felt extremely light and pure. It smelled very clean, which is the best way I can describe it. Again, there was a definite higher order than we are used to here on Earth. I looked in front of me through what looked like a window opening. It appeared to be a big pile of extremely white human femur bones. I thought that was weird. The noise I was hearing was extremely loud, even deafening. It reminded me of a production plant with steel grinding on steel. Then I looked to the right side of me, through another window opening, and I saw a huge, beautiful white city. It was so big, you couldn't see the tops of the buildings. The base of each building was incredibly huge. There were no trees. The city was very, very clean and shiny. The city itself was actually the light. It was a soft light, but it was as bright as the sun, only with a different glow. I didn't see the sun or feel the heat of the sun. I then looked back through the window where I had seen the white bones in a pile. This time, the bones were stacked in a perfect pile. I don't understand the meaning of the two different piles. The first time I looked at the pile, it looked like somebody just threw the bones in a pile. The second time I looked at the pile of bones, and they were staked in perfect order. Then I experienced an extremely loud, deafening sound, louder than the other noise I heard. I could see myself sliding back into my body on the gurney. Before I could open my eyes, I felt pain in my left forearm. I opened my eyes and looked over my left forearm that was pressed up against the guardrail of the gurney. My hand looked like it was 10 times its normal size. I didn't know what that was about, but I took it in stride since it was nothing compared to what I had went through. I looked straight ahead and saw the nurse standing at the computer typing something. I told her I just got assimilated. She responded with, "What?" Again, I said, "I just got assimilated." She said, "That's weird." I said it again, and she said that the respiratory therapist did say that my eyes were going back and forth at a real rapid pace, and that I said, "Wow," a lot. She also shared that the doctor got me off the high gurney. She added, "A lot of people cry or whimper when they get shocked. You just grunted." She then told me that I was only out for 5 minutes. I immediately looked at the clock and it was 2:35. Strange, I thought. I remember her saying that she administered the ketamine at 2 a.m. and it's now 2:35 a.m. I was only out for 5 minutes. Later, her report said she administered the ketamine at 2:18 a.m. Something doesn't make sense. If I was only out for 5 minutes, where did everyone go? There was nobody in the room except the nurse. The lights were off in the room, and it looked like it was vacant for a while. Anyway, I waited another hour or so recovering before they finally discharged me. I don't believe the emergency room doctor ever came back and talked with me before my discharge. Life went on, and I eventually told several people about the White City and the incredible noise that I heard during the experience. However, I continued to tell my wife on a daily basis that something happened to me that I couldn't figure out. When my mind would be idle, I would hear that incredible noise. I told my wife about hearing the noise. Later, she said that she was scared because I might start hearing voices. I assured her that I was not hearing voices, but I think she still had doubts. I continued to hear the noise until July 12th, my birthday. I got a birthday gift that I will never forget. I elected to spend my 54th birthday working on the pond and waterfall. I purchased another 400 pounds of rocks that day. I had just finished arranging the boulders. Overall, I was feeling it was a very good day. After my wife cooked the enchiladas, we relaxed on the swing in the backyard where we enjoyed wine and each other's company. We were talking about something, and in mid-sentence, the body of the NDE was finally revealed to me, Everything I felt and everything I saw was relived in that moment. What a birthday gift. This is the body of my near-death experience. I was standing in line. After I looked at the pile of perfectly stacked white bones again, I was immediately taken inside one of the huge buildings. I was floating in an open room with an incredible loud buzzing noise that I could only hear inside my head, but I also felt pushing against me. I was taken up into the higher part of the building where there were screens on all four walls. There were hundreds of screens side by side and on top of one another. Different screens were playing different events of my life. At first, I thought the experience was a joke, but the events kept coming with more intensity as the experience went on. I didn't have a choice to stop thinking about what was happening. It was consuming me, and it wouldn't stop or go away. At that point, I remember asking myself, "Am I dead?" And then saying to myself, "I am dead." What a feeling that I never felt in my 54 years of life, knowing that I was actually dead. How many people can talk about that? I've never experienced anything like that in any dream, ever. It wasn't a dream. Then when I came back down to ground level, I saw a council of elders dressed in white and sitting at a long table. They didn't even look at me. It looked like they were discussing something of importance. Above them, to the right, were two beings that I didn't recognize. They had very loud and powerful voices, speaking with great authority. I didn't understand a word they said. It didn't seem to be a language from Earth. Then the visions seemed to be of future events, because I didn't recognize the people or events that I was being shown. Again, these visions were coming one after another with more intensity as they continued. When I was done in that room, I just all of a sudden appeared in another room. This time I was standing rather than floating as I was in the other room prior. I will call this room the reality window room. A small window appeared above me on the wall of the room I was in. This window had a wheel on each corner of the window. There were four wheels altogether. The window was very small when it first appeared, but grew while the wheels were spinning and making a high-pitched noise. The window would grow rather quickly and then consume me. I would be inside the window of that reality. As soon as that window was done showing me things, another reality window appeared. It was growing and making that loud sound, just like the previous window. Each window that appeared had different contents inside, but they all had the same theme. This was creation. When the window would absorb me, there would be nothing there. Within seconds, things grew. Things were built, and things were created. They grew to enormous size. The power and intensity of each window was exhausting. Just imagine you were standing in the middle of New York City before New York City was built, and then New York was created in 3 seconds from the ground up, right before your eyes. How loud and intense do you think that would have been? That's the intensity and power of each reality window I was consumed by. The windows wouldn't stop. They kept coming. That is why the first thing that came out of my mouth when I got back into my body on the gurney was, "I just got assimilated." The content of each window filled my whole mind. I was forced to absorb each reality window. After what felt like forever, I do remember I just couldn't take it anymore. I was exhausted. I couldn't handle another reality window. I remember putting my head down before the next window had a chance to consume me. All of a sudden, an incredible noise filled my whole mind, and I saw myself sliding back into my body. It was like I was breaking a barrier coming back into this realm. The noise was very, very loud and very intense. Webster's definition of assimilate is to take into the mind and thoroughly understand, to absorb into the cultural tradition of a population or group, to make similar. I now know that I was being shown the awesome power of creation. His power is the greatest power in the universe. Now, what do I do with that knowledge? It is one thing to be told about it, but to actually experience it brings me to a whole different level. How can anything in this world compare to what I have experienced? Thinking of this experience is very exhausting and very humbling. I had no idea what he was showing me in the reality windows, because I never saw any of the images before. In the early morning of July 17th, 2017, 5 days after my birthday, I had a rather disturbing dream. It was just a dream this time. Although I can't remember the body of the dream, I do remember the last thing I was told. I was told to remember the fourth dimension. So I Googled the fourth dimension. I had never looked into or studied anything in the different dimensions before, so I didn't know what to expect. So I read several articles on the subject and found it interesting, but nothing really stood out as the answer I was looking for. Then I clicked on images. There it was. I saw similar images to what I saw in the reality windows. I then Googled each of the fifth through 12th dimensions and click on images for each. These were very similar images as to what I had to absorb, except in my experience, they were bigger, louder, and more of them. Instead of calling them reality windows, I now call them dimension windows. I didn't go to them. Each dimension window came and absorbed me. I have now read many articles about near-death experiences. Many people claim that they have special powers after their experience. As I finish writing this on August 4th, 2017, none have been revealed to me thus far. However, I was told on the night of July 30th, a month after my near-death experience, to represent what I saw. Not sure what that means at this point, but I'm pretty confident I'll be shown someday. I was also told that he is the mighty one of all dimensions. That revelation I've never heard before. It makes me feel rather small. That is the end of Mark's experience. And, you know, there's a lot of the experiences we read that are rather straightforward, beautiful, peace, and so forth. There are some that have elements of this multidimensional idea. This one is really interesting because of its discussion of these many dimensions, these many realities as they seem to be described. Mark's experience is really interesting in that way. And I look forward to the time that he represents what he sees and or what he saw. And I suspect that part of that was sharing his near-death experience, for which we are grateful, that he posted it on NDERF.org because of the depth of his experience, which is incredible. Let's just touch on a couple of things. The tunnel, as described by Mark, is interesting. He describes it as a tunnel slash conduit, and that it was against his body. The walls of the conduit were against his body, so it almost sounds like he's in some kind of luge type of thing, being squeezed through what he describes as looking like, from the outside, looking almost like an intestine. So this long tube, you know, this is a unique description. You don't hear of descriptions like this very often, but I have heard of them. And I have even seen some portrayed in artwork, in near-death experience artwork. And so that's kind of interesting. He finds himself standing with a bunch of people in front of him, facing the other way. At first, this seems odd, like they're looking away from him for some reason. But I kind of get the impression from his description of suddenly feeling this presence that is very, very deep, intense, and authoritative, and, you know, this higher being. It makes me think that maybe these people, light beings, whatever, these people are waiting to see him or experience him, and not him as in Mark, but him as in this grand presence of sorts. And there, it's almost like picture everybody standing watching something happening in the sky, or standing and watching something on a stage. You know, he suddenly appears in this group, and so he sees everybody in front of him as looking the other way. I'm kind of picturing it being something like that. They're there for the experience of seeing this great being. He may have even been standing in front of others. He never says anything about turning to look at others. But some of the things that he sees are rather odd and unique. The pile of bones, which later is not a pile, but a carefully organized layer of bones. And even he says he doesn't know what to make of that. However, lest we think that this is some kind of distressing near-death experience because of the presence of bones, he describes incredible, intense feelings of peace and this overwhelming sense of peace, which is consistent with near-death experiences. This is not a dream that he's having. He senses that it represents something. He just doesn't know quite what it is. And while I certainly myself wouldn't dare suggest what it must be, I do try to think to myself, what in the world could it mean to have a bunch of femur bones? And I have no idea, but the only thing I can think of, you know, the femur is the part of the leg that includes the thigh, the calves, and I'm trying to think of any spiritual reference to femurs, thighs, calves, something like that. And the only thing that comes to mind is the several times in the Bible when covenants are made where someone is told to put their hand under someone's thigh. And I've never understood that, and I still don't. But in those cases, there are covenants made. Could that be some kind of representation? I don't know. I haven't heard much in any literature around what a femur could represent. So, you know, take that with every type of grain of salt. But that does bring us to an interesting other point that I wanted to draw attention to, and that is the fact that after he wakes up, he goes on with, for a little while, up until I think he said a month later, wondering what, you know, feeling like there's something missing, like there was something he'd forgotten, I gather, about his experience. And on his birthday, as he is, you know, finishing up after a nice day, he's having nice dinner with his wife, and right in the middle of talking with his wife, mid-sentence he even says, the body of the NDE comes back to him. And he remembers it so completely that he describes it as if he saw and was reliving in that moment the entire experience. And he says, what a birthday gift, you know, what a great, great thing to receive. And So in other words, for that month after his initial experience, he's there's part of the experience that's withheld from him, memory of it. It just feels like something is missing, and it comes to him a month later. This is a classic example of someone having a near-death experience but forgetting part of it, and then it coming back later. And just like all these other times that I've heard this described in near-death experiences, when it comes back in full. It's not like, it seems like I remember something about, maybe there was more than, it's more like, it's not there, it's all there, all of a sudden. And it's as if the person, the effect that it has on their emotions and mental, consciousness at that moment, it's as if they are now having a totally new, separate near-death experience because it's ever present from that point on. And so Mark has this experience. He has a near-death experience during his surgery, and he remembers in great detail some parts of it. But then after this month of feeling like there's something missing, he has it come back to him a full month plus later. For some people, this is years later. But so he has this, it all come back to him, and the details are very interesting in this and yet hard to quantify. And, I'm tempted to go through this little by little and try to piece together what's happening, but I don't know. I kind of feel like we would need more from Mark in order to do that. But he describes these windows, this building that he's in. He's on different floors for different parts of this experience. And then these windows with something happening in these windows that he equates to creation, and that he describes as analogous to standing in New York before there was ever a human on the in the area, and then in 3 seconds watching it come up with all the sound that would entail in the 3 seconds, all at once, for in 3 seconds going up the whole city and everything. He says it's as if that's what I was experiencing, but around creation itself, and the loud noises he describes as being the noise of all of that happening at once. And maybe that describes what this loud noise is that he's experiencing. And apparently this noise, it's kind of unclear. He keeps talking about having this constant, unbreaking noise. And then he says, and then there was this even bigger noise. And I'm having a hard time kind of putting the puzzle together to be able to, mentally visualize this. Is this, an additional level of noise that is also constant, and then another one on top of that? Or are we talking like some kind of bang sound in the midst of this constant sound? It's kind of hard to piece this together. But I'm really grateful to Mark for doing the best he could and sharing this. Clearly, every time that somebody is sharing an ineffable experience that is beyond words, and they make the attempt, we are grateful. We are grateful for them making the attempt, because these things really are ineffable. They're beyond words. And yet we've got to have something to work with as mortals to try to see and understand what is going on in these near-death experiences, because frankly, this is where we come from and where we're going, and we want to understand. So anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool, and a cool experience that Mark had. He even describes them being some kind of visions of future events, because he doesn't recognize the people or events happening. And he says they were coming one after another with more intensity as they continued. And there comes a point where they're coming with such intensity and such constancy that it's just too much for him. He can't take anymore. And he recognizes it as being creation. Does that mean creation of the world, creation of the universe, creation of our present world, creation of future things? I get the impression it's all of the above. I don't know. They're growing and increasing in intensity. Just creation, 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 creation. Each one more intense and bigger than the last. And then when he gets to this point of them assimilating him and becoming so much that he can't take it, you know, they keep coming, he finds himself rushing back to his body and telling the doctor, "I was assimilated. I've been assimilated." And she's like, "That's weird, you know?" And he's like, "I was assimilated." And he, at the time, doesn't even seem to remember what he meant by that until later, like we said, on his birthday later. Suffice it to say, from this experience, I think we can gather that even with all the knowledge that will come at some point on the other side, even with the complete understanding that could one day sweep over us and so forth, there is always more. There is always greater things to experience. It's not like, you know, once we have this overwhelming, you know, return and you know, get to experience, you know, life, the universe, and everything, so to speak, it's not like that's the end of it and it's like, well, now what do we do? It's actually that there are levels upon levels upon levels for us to experience over the eternities. Whatever that means, it's awesome, and I look forward to it. And I don't think we need fear, you know, or feel like we need to rush into that. It will come, especially if we allow ourselves to experience the light and love that we are here to share, to give. This is what this life is about. And by doing so, we only prepare ourselves more to receive more. So with that, thank you, all of you, again for listening.
Chaz and I thank you for listening to Near Death Experience Podcast. You can reach out to your hosts by using Chaz, C-H-A-S, at ndepodcast.org and John, J-O-H-N, at ndepodcast.org. You can text or call the show at 970-633-2278. That's 970-NDE-CAST. Calling allows you to record your message in 3-minute increments. If your message runs longer than 3 minutes, just call back and we can splice the segments together. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by searching NDE Podcast on those sites. And join our Facebook NDE Podcast community. Please leave feedback for the show on iTunes or via whatever application you use to listen to us. Doing so will allow our audience to grow and help spread the knowledge about spiritually transformative experiences to more listeners. You can help keep the show financially viable by purchasing Chaz's music or his book under the store link on the ndepodcast.org website, or by going to patreon.com/ndepodcast, where you can make a one-time-only donation or become an ongoing supporter. Whether you decide to write or call us, or you choose to support the show, either financially or by writing a review or by listening and sharing us with others, we are so humbly thankful for you. We can't begin to express how much touching you spiritually means to us. Chaz and I thank you for joining us. We hope you keep listening and applying the understanding you gain from the show about your existence after this earthly life, so you have a better life right now. And to love one another. This is your host, John Messer, reminding you that it's all about attitude and gratitude. And our attitude should always be love.